Gallow Glass, written by Barbara Vine and read by Dermot Crowley.
Chapter 1. When in Rome, said Sander, you have to walk down the Via Condotti and look at the shops. That's where the money is, and the windows full of beautiful things. What does that mean? I said. The Via Condotti. What's that? Kidnap Street. Really? I said. Is that what it means? He only laughed, the way he does. Then he went on with the story, the first one he ever told me. If you've got a shop in the Via Condotti, he said, you've arrived. You're rich. A window on the most fashionable shopping street in Rome is a sure sign of wealth. Bulgari, the jewellers, are there. One of the Bulgari family was kidnapped in 1975 and released on payment of a ransom of £650,000. Well, it was in Italian money, Sander said, but that's what it was in pounds. 8 years later, two more members of the family were taken and let go when £1.75 million was paid. Keep on down the street and you'll come to Piatelli. It's men's clothes they sell. Barbara Piatelli was kidnapped and held for nearly a year before being released for £500,000. On the opposite side is Prince Piranesi, the perfumer. Sandra asked me if I'd ever heard of the perfumes called that. I had to say no. I've never heard of things like that. Of course I haven't, let alone used them. Was he kidnapped? I said. Not him. His wife. What happened to her? His voice was dreamy, as if his thoughts were a long, long way away. It was at the end of the kidnap era. It was only 5 years ago. The golden age of kidnapping was past, even in Italy. I looked at him, waiting for more. It wasn't a story, really, was it? More a sort of account, a history. It wasn't a story like the one about Signora Santa Anna or Lichnikov that had a beginning and an end. But somehow, I already knew it wouldn't be any good asking Sander to go on if he didn't want to. I knew I had to leave it to him to tell it in his own time, if he wanted to tell it, or if he never meant to mention it again. He lit a cigarette and lay back with his eyes half closed. I watched him, 3 or 4 days into love. Even then I could feel my love trembling inside me. And as I watched him, the trembling bubbled up and got stronger, as if it had to come out of my mouth in a cry. I covered my mouth and sat there, watching. Next day we went out together. It must have been the first time Sander took me about, showing me the town I was born in but never saw before. We went in the tube to get me used to it again, and I could see him looking at me to check if I was all right. Oxford Street, and snow flying in the wind, melting on the warm pavements. Hardly the Via Condotti, he said. I don't know what he meant. It was full of shops and people. Perhaps it was money he meant. You could feel the hunger for things, but not the money to buy them. We went into a big store. You could smell the department where they sold the perfumes and powders and creams and things long before you got to it. It was the way I imagined it must be in one of those foreign places, when you're coming to a tropical garden but you can't see it yet. Sander led me up to a counter where all the stuff they sold was called Prince Piranesi. There were things for women on one side and for men on the other. A girl with a cut glass bottle in her hand sprayed perfume on me and on Sander, and Sander, much to my surprise, didn't seem to mind or get cross. He even lifted up his wrist and smelt it and smiled a bit. The women's stuff was done up in very pale blue and the men's in red. It was so expensive you wouldn't want to waste it on your face. You'd have to eat it. There were no pictures of this prince, only of girl models and one man model I thought looked a lot like Sander, but he frowned and shook his head when I told him so. What he drew my attention to particularly was a small photograph in a golden oval surround. It was on the lid of a big powder box. A tiny picture of a blonde girl with masses of golden hair done up on top of her head and with strings of pearls wound in it.